Every year I know we gonna go hard. We been that team ever since Bart Starr. All my cheese heads go pack go. Ain't showing no mercy, cutting no slack, no. I ain't a bad sport and I'll even wish you good luck. Only thing I will say.
Welcome to Lombardi's Legends Podcast. I am Wags, and joining me as always is Dane. We are recording here live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter on Sunday night here after the Packers were able to hold off the Washington football team and improve to 6-1 at Lambeau Field today with a 24-10 victory. Dane, I know you're feeling a little bit under the weather tonight, so we're going to try to keep this a little bit shorter, just a little under the weather. But that said, got to feel at least a little bit better emotionally with the Packers picking up a win today.
Well, winning's the best medicine, Wags, so I feel pretty good about that, and I feel pretty good to see Robert Tonyan get involved and to see Alan Lazard continue to get involved and to see, some of our – it was a concentrated effort today, I think, by the offense to throw the ball. Aaron Jones did not run the ball very often. We'll get to A.J. Dillon momentarily as well, but I thought – overall, getting the ball through the air to some of these other targets, the team's going to be better for it down the road. Did not expect to lose to this Washington football team. And while the game was kind of close, I don't know about you, I'm curious your take, but I never really felt like this thing was ever going to get out of hand and go sideways the other way. So I felt pretty comfortable about it. Thought the Packers were able to choose their spots, and they took care of business against another team. They're 6-1, and now they start down a really difficult path. They've got a tough few weeks, and we'll talk future stuff, but for today, it's another win. They're 6-1, and all they've done is take care of business with any team that's come in front of them outside of week one, which was clearly an anomaly at this point.
Yeah, for sure. So you said it's a short week, but that makes getting a win all the sweeter and more important. We've got some guys that maybe got a little dinged up here today. Hopefully nothing significant, but sometimes just a minor injury can cause some problems when you've got this short of a turnaround. Just programming notes for those of you peeking in. Thanks for joining. Feel free to post in the comments if you have any thoughts on today's game or just the team overall. Any questions or thoughts heading into this next week against the Cardinals. We will be doing a preview episode on Wednesday night this week. Normally we do Thursday nights at 7:30, so be on the lookout for that. And then also, we won't be doing a recap Thursday night. That's going to get a little bit late. We'll see if we'll do an Insta live after the game. That might depend on how the game goes, but we tentatively plan to do a recap episode either Friday evening or Sunday morning. So we'll either do it a day or a few days after. We've got the long weekend next weekend, so we'll see when we're able to connect, but that's kind of what the plan is for the next few upcoming episodes. So Dane, let's just dive right into this for tonight. You just shared some overall thoughts on tonight's game. It's an interesting takeaway, but my biggest thing is with the outcome of this game, it was kind of an analytics nerds, love fest here, because it was about the Packers being efficient in some areas where they haven't been, and Washington not being very efficient in some areas that the Packers were able to take advantage. And I think that was the biggest difference in the game today. And so let's dive into that, because, when you look at it from a red zone efficiency standpoint, I think everybody knows by now that's been watching this Packer teams all year, hadn't gotten a stop in the red zone all season coming to today. Mm-hmm. Opponents 15 for 15 scoring touchdowns. And then Washington goes 0 for 4 in the red zone today. And not only that, they only came away with 3 points. So that's really going to make a big difference. And I think that's kind of the game right there. But then on top of that, they were only 4 for 12 on third down, 1 for 4 on fourth down. And the Packers offensively, 50%, 6 for 12 on third down, converted their lone fourth down opportunity and weren't amazing, but went 2 for 4 in the red zone themselves. So, you know, we can spout stats till we're green in the ears sometimes, but I think today you really don't have to look too much further than that to understand why the game tilted the Packers' advantage.
Were you surprised at all, talking more about the eye test, were you surprised at all by the Washington front on the defensive side in particular? I thought that they gave the Packers offensive line fits at times. They kind of exposed this Packers offensive line that had been able to cobble together guys even through injuries and keep Aaron Rodgers upright. But what's your impression of that? I mean, Bakhtiari's going to be coming back at some point. I don't think he's probably coming back on Thursday. I'd be surprised. So just overall impression there, because I was a little surprised with how able they were. And Chase Young gave Billy Turner fits, I thought, at times. And more than anybody, John Runyon had probably his worst game as a pro that I can recall. He got beat pretty badly a few times on offense, also on the kick unit. So just overall impressions there. What was your takeaway, or are there any takeaways from this game from the offensive line perspective?
In a way, not that you want to see that unit struggle, but the fact that the Packers were able to take care of business and win 24-10, you've got a lot of teachable things coming out of this game, that's for sure. I'm not terribly concerned with Billy Turner. He's been playing at a Pro Bowl level all year. He just had an off day. I'm just going to chalk it up to that. John Runyon, he's a younger player, and he's been playing really solid football up to this point, so I'm not going to read too much into that. I thought Lucas Patrick didn't have quite as strong as performance today either. I mean, you really could say the whole offensive line struggled altogether. I thought Elgton Jenkins was okay, but I mean, your one guy isn't going to overcome the inefficiencies or the lack of production that you're getting from the unit as a whole. So it wasn't their best day. There's no doubt about that. They're going to have to be a lot better on Thursday night, and we'll have time to break that down in our preview episode. But they've been running the ball really well coming into this week. Mm-hmm. So the fact that Washington was able to get a little pressure, particularly in the first half, and get a few sacks, that's one thing. But when you can't get anything going on the run game, that's a little bit more cause for concern. Now, this is only one game, so I'm not terribly concerned about it, but they are going to have to be a lot better. So hopefully it was just, a bad day at the office. Washington may have exploited a couple of mismatches, just frankly won some individual battles. So I think they're going to bounce back. I don't think there was anything schematic. I mean, the way that AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones had been running the ball the last 3-4 weeks coming into this one. Just when you look at the production today, I think it's kind of a head scratcher. So I don't know, Dane, do you have any, I mean, was there something I'm missing, or was there something that you had as a takeaway from the offensive line? Because the good news is Aaron was throwing the ball really, really darn well today. I thought this was one of his more accurate passing days of the season.
Yeah, I thought it was too for Rodgers. Thought he looked pretty sharp. His deep ball, those 20 plus yard plays, something that he up until this point this year just hadn't quite gotten there yet. I thought that he was able to hit those, looked more accurate. It doesn't hurt when you've got somebody like Davante Adams who can make plays that are just absolutely ridiculous, and I don't know how he even does that.
And not to interrupt you, I'll let you finish that thought, but that's kind of a reason to give your receiver a chance to make a play. When he made that catch along the sideline and just gripped the ball as he was tiptoeing the sideline, I mean, that's just insane. That said, Rodgers had to put it where he did to give Adams a chance to catch the ball, right? So, but anyway, I think that's a good point of where he was getting the football, was giving his best receiver in the game of football a chance to go up and make a catch, right?
Oh, totally. And he said something after the game. I don't know if you saw him talking to Pam Oliver, if you had a chance to see that portion after the game. He said, he's like, we're close. Offensively, we're close. And I believe him. I take him actually at face value on that. I think that they are close. You can kind of feel that something's getting ready to cook there. He also called the team scrappy, which kind of made me chuckle a little bit because they are. they are a scrappy bunch, and you don't necessarily expect that from a two-time NFC championship game team to be kind of scrappy going into this, but it's been a next man up team for so much of this year, and to watch them do that today I thought was pretty cool. And Alan Lazard I thought looked really good. He was your X factor of the week. A great call, Wags, on the Alan Lazard. He looked very, very good today, and if they can add that extra layer, he and Robert Tonyan got going a little bit today. They can add that makes their offense more what they were last year, which was almost lights out most of the season. And as good as Devontae is, we need to be able to find secondary players that can make plays in big moments. So to see both Tonyan and Lazard get cooking today, I thought that was probably my biggest takeaway of the entire game, was how encouraged I was that Rodgers was spreading the ball out a little bit more. And not only doing that, but doing it with ease. It wasn't like he was forcing it in there. He was taking what it was coming to him, but it just looked effortless today.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? And Rodgers targeted 9 different receivers, and 7 different receivers were able to get a catch today. So that's really spreading the ball around, to your point. And that's the other thing, is I never like to see us lose balance and not be able to run the ball, because Washington really did take that away from us. Mm-hmm. That said, I didn't mind that we were throwing, because I just didn't think that they could stop that. So this was one of those games where we're playing from ahead. When you're throwing the ball 40 plus times and you're trying to play from behind, that's when you can have some problems. But when you're playing from ahead and you're really pretty efficient, and the way that Aaron was throwing the ball today, I wouldn't have minded if they were just throwing the ball pretty much every time. I will give the offensive line credit for this. I thought they protected Aaron a little bit better as the game went along in pass coverage, or pass protection, I should say. So kudos to them for, making adjustments and kind of trying to keep Washington from being able to just pin their ears back and really start blowing things up once they got a little bit one-dimensional. So from that standpoint, the Packers offense, I thought, did what they had to do. Would have been nice if we would have maybe punched it in one more time. It's hard to complain because we've been winning and winning and winning. But that's the one thing that we haven't seen in this stretch. And maybe that's what Aaron's alluding to, too, mm-hmm. when he says this offense is close, is they haven't necessarily had that home run, hammer play that's just put teams away and really gets out ahead. We both predicted that we would win this one going away. I think we had the same score prediction for the first time ever. And that didn't quite come to fruition. But maybe, Dane, do you think maybe they would have minded? I sure don't, if they saved a couple of those big plays for this Thursday.
Yeah, let's save those because we're going to need them on Thursday night. And I know Matt LaFleur alluded to it with Preston Smith even. They held him out today. It was his first time he's ever missed a game, over 100 games in a row, which is just incredible for a linebacker. And he said, I'd be lying if part of it wasn't the short week. So, separate, but similar, right? Kind of idea right there that maybe they're holding back a little bit on a couple things here or there on that front. Wags, one other thing on the offense, cause for concern was AJ Dillon putting the ball on the ground a couple times. Makes me pretty nervous. Late in the game, they had Kylan Hill running the ball, not AJ Dillon, not Aaron Jones. Obviously Jones, they weren't going to put in there probably in that situation, but that's definitely should be prime AJ Dillon. We're just, running the clock. We're working you over. So should we be concerned? Was it just a bad day? What's your take there?
Yeah, I'd be curious your take on that too. I'm just chalking up to a bad day. AJ Dillon, I think, had 3 carries for 6 yards. Did I see that correctly?
I think you're right.
Aaron Jones didn't fare too much better than that. So It was just a struggle all around in the run game tonight. So it wasn't any one guy that you can pinpoint, but you're absolutely right. I don't care how bad you're struggling trying to get forward yards in that situation. I mean, all you got to do is fall forward. Worst case, you're punting the ball away, and Washington's got to go to the length of the field with a couple of minutes left, down by a few scores. So that's what you got to correct. So hopefully we got our worst running performance out of the way for the season, and we don't have to see that moving forward. But I don't know. I would say it's a yellow flag just because Washington is, they certainly didn't come in as one of the top rush defenses in the league. So it's not something that you're going to really, I don't know, Dane. I don't know if you have any thoughts on it. I guess I just feel like overall it's just one bad game. But
yeah, I hope so. I'm not going to harp on it. I'm not going to worry on Thursday night when A.J. Dillon gets the ball. You know, he's proven to be a pretty effective runner and has been able to take care of the ball. So just something I think that if anything, we needed a negative takeaway. That's probably the one that I saw there, and not one but two fumbles in a game. But that's I'd be surprised if that continues or that trend continues down the road personally.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to happen. Unfortunately, yeah. It's part of the game, but thankfully it didn't cost us a win this week. So Dane, before we go over to the defensive side of the ball, let's take a moment to talk about our sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. If you are a new customer for DraftKings, you can take advantage of the offer by using our promo code TPPN, like the Pigskin Podcast Network. With a $5 bet on any NFL team, you can win $200 in free bets. So, Dane, tell us, how did Andrea do this week? You've been keeping us posted on how your wife's doing and her daily fantasy lineups on DraftKings. So I'm anxious to hear how she cashed in this week.
She seems to be doing well. She had Matt Stafford, so she was talking a big game with him today. She had Drake from the Los Angeles Raiders, and I kind of looked at her sideways when she was like, I'm going to go with Drake. And then Drake, you know, falls in the end zone from 4 yards down. I said, okay, you know what you're doing. So she continues to have success thanks to DraftKings. You know, she used that code TPPN and was able to put bet down, get some money back. It's a really great sponsorship, great deal by DraftKings, what they're doing right now. So, you know, go use promo code TPPN and get involved. Have some fun. I mean, it's fun to bet on some of these games, and DraftKings is making it really easy for us.
Yeah, so download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TPPN. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code TPPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay, so Dane, defensive side of the ball. I mean, I think let's just talk about Rashawn Gary because what a performance from him today. And he wasn't the only one. This defense as a whole, they gave up yards. I don't think anybody should be too concerned about that. What they were able to do situationally, getting stops, and Rashawn Gary making an impact on the defensive side.
It's awesome. It's just awesome to watch him play. He's fun to watch play, too. He's one of those guys that he's got a motor. He just gets after the quarterback. Even in the plays, you see him, Wags. That's what I love about Gary. Even in plays where he's not the guy who's getting the sack, somehow he's always like on the ground near the quarterback's ankles. He's always doing something. He just looked faster than everybody out there today, and he's relentless. He keeps going. He gets that strip sack. I just really impressive to watch him continue to grow. And we have. That's what's been fun as Packer fans since we picked him in the first round, to watch him go from, you know, not getting that many snaps to last year playing in certain situations to right now. With both Smiths out, he's kind of the guy. And not kind of, he is the guy. And in days like this, when you see him be able to just wreak havoc on an opposing offense, it's so fun to watch him grow. He seems like a really good dude. He's the hardest worker. So kudos to him. And I think that Whitney Mercilus signing is going to pay significant dividends. And I lump him in with Gary because I think that Mercilus on one side, Rashawn Gary on the other side, is pretty filthy. It's pretty filthy. And when we get Preston Smith back, I like that as a 1-2-3 punch. I really do. I think Mercilus is going to take a little extra pressure off of Rashawn Gary, and they're not going to be able to double team Rashawn as much. The running back's going to have to make a decision. Which guy do I go and try to chip or try to block? So big, big pickup for the Packers. And I think Rashawn Gary is going to be the one who really benefits from this Mercilus signing. I mean, Rashawn Gary and all of us, because I think that more production is going to come from this Packers defense as a result.
Yeah, and Rashawn Gary, 7 tackles, 2 sacks, insane. Forced fumble, 4 quarterback hits. So, I mean, and most of that was coming in the second half, but I agree. Listen, Mercilus helps, and then we saw Kenny Clark, who rolled his ankle, was able to come back in, so hopefully that doesn't swell up too badly, and he's okay as the week progresses here on a short week, but he did go back in the game. Kenny, I saw lined up at defensive end in a number of situations and passing situations today. That freed up Kingsley Keke, Dean Lowry, who also I think missed a series or a part of a series, was able to come back in. But both Keke and Lowry were able to get in there for sacks as well. And that's what that does, is when you can't just pay attention to one guy or one side of the line. They're interchangeable. They're able to run more stunts and basically just rushing with 4 guys. They didn't have to scheme up any extra pressures coming from the second or third level. They were able to start getting home. I thought Washington protected pretty well in the first half, but in the second half, starting with that strip sack by Rashawn Gary, and then especially in the fourth quarter when we did see Whitney Mercilus get out there a little bit more, we saw the defensive line start to wreak more and more havoc over the course of the game.
Yeah, I think that's something we'll need to keep an eye on. Scrambling quarterbacks today, he was able to get some lanes. So that's just something big picture that we're going to need to pay attention to. Might need to be a schematic change, you know, something maybe you shadow the quarterback if the quarterback's got some legs. That was just an unintended consequence, I think, to some really good pressure. And against other quarterbacks, maybe you know, we wouldn't have felt that pain, but with Henneke, he was able to kind of get out and move up the middle a little bit. But Mercilus looked really good. And Wags, you mentioned Dean Lowry. He's having a renaissance right now. He's playing about as good a football as I can remember him playing. He's playing at the level that the Packers hoped he would when they signed him to that contract. And if he can continue down this course, it just makes this defense that much better. And if we're able to take care of red zone issues a little bit better, like we were able to today, this defense all of a sudden gets pretty damn good, pretty damn quick. So it's fun to watch that happen. Now, we're about to hit meat of the schedule, but right now at 6-1, I sure as heck like what we're seeing out of our pass rushers, out of our defensive line, especially when we're shorthanded.
Yeah. Dane, what did you think? Let's talk a little bit about the linebackers. Devondre Campbell, you know, really deserves special mention again today. Yeah. 13 total tackles, 2 forced fumbles, including a big one when Heinicke was trying to do a sneak on 4th and half a yard at the goal line. And that was what basically gave the officials – they really had no ability to overturn that call, right? Because was he down? Was he not? There was no way to tell. But once that was forced out, that's just a heck of a play. And Devondre Campbell just continues to get the job done. I do wonder, you talking about Heinicke and the number of yards he was able to pick up on the ground. Not the fastest guy, not the quickest guy. He's run a little bit, so it's not like I don't think the Packers were completely unprepared for his ability to run with the football. I didn't see any gaping holes or lanes. I think it was just one of those things where they had guys out for routes. I didn't see a ton of missed tackles. It was just I don't know if the pursuit wasn't quite there, but what I do want to ask is, did you pick up anything? Because Oren Burks earned the start today, so, and I was surprised by that, next to Devondre Campbell. And it's interesting to me. We talked about Oren Burks. We talked about, is Jalen Smith going to get worked in some more? And, you know, there's something that Coach Barry and the defensive coaching staff is not loving about what Chris Barnes is giving us. And right. I don't know if Barnes is nursing an injury or what might be going on there, but he seems to be getting less and less run these last few weeks. So do you have any insight on that? Is there something out there in particular that he hasn't been doing from an execution standpoint that could be the reason for that?
I don't think so. I mean, that's one of the bigger surprises, I would say, of this season on the defensive side is the Chris Barnes less and less. Because going into the year, I thought last season when he was out there, he could help this team win. Maybe he's just not fitting what Coach Barry's looking for them to do. I haven't seen anything, Wags. It doesn't look like he's missing tackles. He seems like he's able to slide off of blockers. So I haven't seen anything either, but it does appear that he is, maybe they just want to be faster. That's, I guess, what my guess is that I think Chris Barnes is more of your prototypical inside linebacker that's going to thump and, you know, bring the runner down. And we start talking about guys like Jalen Smith or Oren Burks. Those guys are historically a little faster and they can cover a little bit better, running backs out of the backfield. So I guess maybe that is part of it, is they want to have guys that are a little bit more flexible to be able to stick with tight ends and running backs. And that's just a guess at this point. But you're right. Oren Burks earned the start. Oren Burks played some pass rushing downs as an outside linebacker as well today. So they're moving him around. So it remains to be seen. I'll be curious to see if this trend continues as the season goes forward. I'll be curious if it's situational. We talked going into this game, McKissick really good out of the backfield. So maybe they wanted to make sure they had the flexibility, because I did see Jalen Smith in there and Oren Burks, maybe more of a coverage style today. So, you know, if we're playing the Vikings and we're playing a team that can run the ball really well, do we see a little bit more of a Chris Barnes who's going to get in there and be your traditional thumper in the middle? I don't know. I think it remains to be seen right now.
Yeah, that could be. And I think that's a really good call out for sure. One other thing I wanted to look at with this defense, I thought both Adrian Amos and Darnell Savage had really solid days. Now, Savage did miss one tackle, I thought they really communicated well, and the secondary overall did a really nice job. Obviously, Eric Stokes gave up the long touchdown in the first series, but I don't know if you have any thoughts on how the secondary played after that first series. I really was very encouraged. Rasul Douglas came off the field at one point, but was able to come back in. I thought he had a pretty solid day again out there.
I like him. I really like what we've seen from him over 2 weeks. Overall, he's played some really good. I think he plays inspired football. I like him. He's kind of a gritty and aggressive out there, and he seems to be fitting in. I'll put it that way. Fitting in with this defense, Rasul Douglas. I really like what he's been able to bring in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and Adrian Amos, I thought had I don't know if it was quietly, but I just thought he had a really, really nice game today, just directing traffic, it seemed like, out there for the defense. And then, of course, Shannon Sullivan had a real nice interception, had a couple of nice tackles. I thought he had his strongest game of the season as well. You know, even with a couple guys down, you've got to be super encouraged, don't you, with the way that the secondary performed out there. McLaurin got his, but outside of that, I thought the Packers in the pass defense in that secondary group did a really effective job in containing and not giving up anything big downfield.
It's almost scary if Jair is able to come back at some point this season. Because right now what's happening is Eric Stokes is just trial by fire playing against team's best receiver week in and week out. And if we're able to get Jair back and his shoulder works out, all of a sudden what that's allowed is for Stokes' development to just happen in front of our eyes week to week against some of the best receivers in the National Football League, and it makes his defense even that much better. Yeah, he gave up that touchdown early. I thought he was in really good position, Wags, actually, on that touchdown pass. He wasn't able to really identify where the ball was, you know, touchdown. But later, and this is what I like about Stokes, a little bit later on that fourth down, he breaks up the pass. He's got this, like, he comes back at it, and we've seen, as Packer fans, time and again, we've seen rookie and young corners that the Packers invest a lot in. I'm not going to name names. They're not on the roster anymore. Once they start to play poorly, it gets worse and worse and worse, and they kind of get in their own heads. We've seen that a number of times. That does not happen with Eric Stokes, and I think that that's what's as encouraging as anything to me, is that he just keeps coming back. He's a competitor. He wants to come back. Yeah, you got me this time. I'm going to get you next time mentality. So I really like that about him. And then Shannon Sullivan, heck of a job from Shannon Sullivan today. Again, last week didn't give up a reception at all. This week, gave up a couple very minor receptions, and then obviously had that interception, was sticking guys out there again, not afraid to tackle. Really like what he did. I thought Henry Black had a little bit of a rough outing. He got lost a couple times in there. I think of everybody that I saw, he was probably the one that would probably like a play or two back, but he's a young guy, and that happens, and you know, these are learning opportunities, I think, for players like this. So I think as a whole, the DBs played really, really well. I would like to highlight, though, I think that Stokes was very good, but I thought Shannon Sullivan was phenomenal today to get that interception and just everything else he did for this defense.
For sure. So, Dane, any other thoughts on the defense? Because I think we do definitely need to spend a few minutes on a special team.
Yeah.
We had some good, we had some bad on special teams. So I did want to chat with you about that for a few minutes. But before we do that, I don't know if you have any other closing thoughts on the way this defense is shaping up at this point.
No, just give Barry credit. You know, he came in and they're doing something right here. And it was good to kind of, exercise some of the demons of the red zone today, even if it was in kind of a fluky and odd fashion. I don't care. I think just getting that off the books is good for this team. And now they just need to build on that. But I like what we're seeing from this defense. They're keeping teams to, you know, I mean, today, if you're telling me we're keeping a team to 14 points, with an Aaron Rodgers offense on the other side of the field, we're going to win the football game, you know?
So yeah, for sure.
I'm really pleased with what the defense is providing right now. And they are playing fast, Wags. They're playing fast. They're playing aggressive. And I like that.
Yeah. I wonder if Coach Barry is still biking to practice. If that's
getting
the blood flowing. Yeah. We saw Coach Barry in preseason practice and he was, chatting with us as he's merging through traffic on his bike. So positive first impression.
Yes.
He's continued to look better and better, I think, with this defense. So, that's definitely encouraging. It's going to get harder,
yes.
But, you know, hopefully we've got some guys coming back too. I mean, for the number of guys we've had out and impact players we've had out, you can't ask, I don't think, Coach Barry and this defense to do more than what they have. So,
and Wiggs, real quick, it is going to get harder, but the Packers have given themselves a bit of a cushion at this point.
Yeah.
And judging by what just happened, the Chicago Bears tonight, you know, they got just absolutely destroyed by Tampa Bay. The division, I really like the Packers' chances in the division right now. I mean, knock on wood, of course, the NFC North can be weird, but they've given themselves a fighter's chance now to, you know, even if you drop one or two that you don't want, obviously don't want to drop any, they're in a good position, I think, right now, being 6-1 this deep into the season.
Yeah, it's we'll have plenty of chances to see how things unfold. Obviously, there's still 10 weeks or 10 games to go. So this is a ways to go yet, and two more games against the Vikings. So if they keep winning games, they've kind of dug themselves out of their early hole. That can dry up in a hurry. So we got to keep the pedal to the metal for sure. Dane, let's chat a little bit about special teams. So started off, and it's looking a little bit nightmarish with Mason Crosby getting a blocked field goal. Obviously, the Packers were able to, before that, force a blocked field goal, and that was with TJ Slayton getting a big paw up and getting a hand on the football. So I guess you take the good with the bad on that. Frankly, just because we did it doesn't mean I think we need to give one up. But I don't know if you saw anything on that. It looked like Mason just didn't get a real good kick because it didn't seem like there was all that much pressure from the side or from the middle. So
It didn't look like he got much. Like, it looked like low. Like, so yeah, I don't know what happened there. It looked like Runyon gave up a little bit of ground, but that happens in these kicks. So like, I don't know what happened. The snap looked good. The hold was good. And Mace just, I don't know if he just was under. I'll tell you what, if they didn't block it, I still don't know if it goes through. It was just so low. It was just an odd one off his foot.
It looked like he just may have mishit it, is what it comes down to. So, but in any event, obviously, they are able to come back. I thought our coverage on kickoff was actually pretty solid today. You mentioned that was a potential concern coming into this one, and it is really any week, but I thought they did pretty well in coverage today. And then how about Corey Borges? What more can you say? He booms one out of the end zone, 53 yards, and forces a fair catch, puts Washington back on their side of the field. Crazy punt. And the game of inches, that almost got blocked as well. And then his last punt, somehow able to take his pitching wedge, and it literally hit the 1-inch line, bounces backwards, and the Packers are able to pin them on the 3-yard line. So you can't do any better than that. I'll tell you what a performance from a punter today.
Yeah, Wags, it says everything you need to know about him when, you know, I think he kicked about a 50-yard punt, and it was fair caught, and I was like, that's all you got, Corey? Like, he's playing that well. He's playing next level right now for the Packers. And after a lot of uneven punting over the last few seasons, to see him out there, it completely changes the scope of this team. If you can shift the field that way and make it that extra, that much harder for an offense to go down and drive, it makes this team that much more dynamic. So good on him, and good on the front office to be able to go out and get him. Well worth, I think, what, a 6th round draft pick? Oh my gosh. Well worth that 6th round draft pick to get him into Green Bay. And if I'm not mistaken, I mean, his first year he punted in Buffalo. So he's used to punting in kind of nasty weather. So as the season wears on, I anticipate that he should be able to continue to perform at a pretty high level in the winds and in the cold.
Yeah, I hope so. And what I like about it is he had a tough week last week, and he bounced back and had some good kicks today. Aside from that block on the Mason field goal, obviously he wasn't asked to do a lot of work today, 3 extra points, and then hit another 39-yarder. But the fact that the rest of his attempts were uneventful, I think, was a good sign that was just an aberration. So, Dane, any other thoughts on special teams? I thought it was, you know, again, you never want to get a field goal blocked, but if that wasn't blocked and it was just a Mason shank, I don't know that we're really talking too much about that play.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. I think that, hopefully they can continue to clean things up. The kick coverage was much better than, it had been in previous weeks. I thought they looked like they were on top of it. So all good. All good overall. And congrats to TJ Slayton. Pretty cool to see him get that block there.
Yeah, for sure. So I think it's time then to hand out the game balls, our B Legendary Big Cheese Players of the Week. We've got a few of them to hand out. Offensive side of the ball, defensive side of the ball, and I definitely think we have a couple of special teams qualifiers this week. So, Dane, I'll let you take the lead this week. Where do you want to start?
I mean, let's start on defense, and I think it's obvious. I think Rashad Gary deserves a Big Cheese Player of the Week. He was just dominating again, and to come out of the second half and get that takeaway just huge, right? Completely flips everything on its head. Rashawn Gary, we said we need you to step up. We need him to step up. We said that a few weeks ago, and all he's doing is stepping up. Monster day. The stats don't always tell the tale. Today they do tell the tale. He was just an absolute force for this defense, and he deserves the Big Cheese Player of the Day. So he's my nominee.
Well, you've got my 100% agreement. And it's one of those things where we had Kenny Clark last week, and this week it was Rashawn Gary's turn. So it's even that much better if this defense has, you know, guys that we think can be those type of players able to step up in back-to-back games. And if that can kind of continue, they all take turns, that's definitely going to contribute. Honorable mention, shout-outs, Devondre Campbell, just 13 tackles and 2 forced fumbles, keeping Washington out of the end zone. It's got to be mentioned. And then Chandon Sullivan, second honorable mention. Congrats, man, getting that interception. And then just, you know, I thought, even aside from that, really, very solid game. I thought he had his best game of the season as well today. So don't have game balls or big cheeses for everyone on defense, but I thought both of those guys definitely deserved a shout out for sure. Yeah. So Dane, offensively, I don't know if we'll have the same guy or not, but I'm actually going to go with the QB1 this week, Aaron Rodgers. I think, we could give Aaron a big cheese of the week, probably more than we do, but to me, it was him today. Yeah. The way that he was able to distribute that football, we mentioned earlier, 7 different guys had receptions. He targeted 9 different players on the offensive side of the ball. Didn't blow you away statistically for Aaron, 274 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, but efficient. And I just felt like he was on his game today. So he didn't get frazzled. They were able to get to him a few times early. It didn't seem to bother him at all, actually. And he just got up and the offense just came back the next series and started moving the ball again, even without a run game today. So I think Aaron definitely deserves a Big Cheese nomination. But I don't know if you have someone else that you want to throw out there as well.
No, I think it was Rodgers today. You're right. The numbers, it wasn't 400 yards passing or whatever. But what it was just a really efficient game. I actually looked to the moment when Randall Cobb went into motion when he clearly it was a false start, and Rodgers' reaction, he was like laughing and joking, and I was like, okay, there's something here with Rodgers right now. He was using his legs again today a little bit when he needed to. The deep ball looked accurate. He looked calm. You're right. He got sacked a little bit early, but you didn't see him shaking his head. He wasn't pissed. He looked like he was like, okay, we're going to come back. We're going to go get him. I thought his touchdown pass to Davante Adams early was pretty masterful. But throughout the game, he was putting the ball where he wanted to put the ball. The team followed Aaron Rodgers. That's what you want out of your 3-time MVP quarterback. So I completely agree with you, Wags. And because he spread the ball out, he really was able to just see the entire field, see the entire team. He was seeing it today, I thought, really well. So he deserves the Big Cheese Offensive Player of the Week.
Yeah, and similarly, I think we got to give a couple of shout outs as well. Both Bob Tonyan and Alan Lazard had their best games of the season as far as catching the ball is concerned. Both of them able to get in the end zone, both able to get just 60 and 63 yards receiving, 4 and 5 receptions. So if we can get them going as kind of third or fourth options catching the football, I think this offense is, as Aaron said, they're close, and I think they're ready to kind of go to another level here, hopefully corresponding with David Bakhtiari coming back in the next couple of weeks as well. So, Dane, special teams, who do you got? We got a couple potential nominations, so I'm going to let you lead this one off first.
Well, Bohorquez was masterful yet again. I think I tweeted he was filthy. Because he is, but I don't care. I'm saying TJ Slayton because he got that big block and I'm just really proud of him. I think it's pretty cool to see him, be engaged in the game. I think that when he's been able to get on the field on defense, he's made an impression early in the year, and to earn snaps on special teams and get that block is really good for the team overall, young guy getting out there, getting after it, blocking it. Obviously, Bohorquez was awesome, but I'm really happy for TJ Slayton. I think that he deserves it. We haven't had a blocked field goal since Dayton Jones, I think is what I saw, like 5, 6, 7 years ago. So we don't see him all that often in Green Bay either. So it was a pretty cool moment. So that's going to be my nominee, Wags.
I agree with you. Listen, Borquez was great. So he gets a shout out for sure. Mm-hmm. But TJ Slayton, that's the type of special teams plays that we haven't been getting for years, where it's actually making an impact on the other team's special teams unit. It's not just about us trying to, you know, hold it together. We're actually forcing the other team into a mistake. And that block takes points off the board. I mean, it's as simple as that. Borquez's punts are wonderful, but it doesn't take any points away from the opposing team. So I'm going to go with TJ Slayton as well. Those are the types of impact plays that have been missing from special teams. And that's all on the guys that are out there. You can scheme and you can coach and you can do reps and you can do video, you know, and prepare and all those things. None of that's going to make a difference. It's the guys out there on the field playing with heart and trying to get in there and make a play. And that's what exactly what TJ Slayton did on that. So I give him high kudos for that. And I'm really happy to be able to give a Big Cheese Special Team Player of the Week to a non-specialist, I think, for first time in I don't even know how long. So I'll make it unanimous there, Dan. But Borquez definitely got to be a good shout-out for him and great performance, man.
Yeah, it's awesome. Wags, we're 6-1. How about that? It's going to be a short turnaround, but 6-1 feels really good in the NFL. Really happy about where we're at. Obviously we're live right now on Facebook and on Twitter and on YouTube. But a lot of y'all I know will be listening to us on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. And then we're going to be back at it doing a preview on Wednesday. So it's coming around real quick this week, Wags.
Yep, for sure. So Dane, I hope you get better. Take care of yourself tonight. And folks, thanks so much for joining here this evening, or if you're listening to us tomorrow, say it with us. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Yeah, I know we're gonna go hard. We've been that team ever since Bart Starr. Facts. All my cheese heads go Pack Go. Ain't show with no mercy, cutting no slack, no. I ain't a bad sport and I'll even wish you good luck. Only thing I will say.